Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 149. I've got Mick back in the studio. G'day!
Oh, Leah, hello. It's good to be back.
It's still a Tomless episode.
Tomless.
I'm sure he'll be back anytime soon, but he's enjoying being a new father. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, he doesn't need to do the podcast every week.
Nah, it's all right. You got apt replacements.
That's right.
Including last week with the amazing
Chloe.
Chloe,
yeah.
And the gooing and the garring. I promise not to touch everything. I promise not to complain that I need
crackers
and some
plate
food.
Fruit Ninja on the phone.
I'll try not to do all these things today. All right, but okay. You might be used to it. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe this is a baby's podcast now.
Maybe I've transitioned. It's really funny, actually. There was a post that we put up on Instagram just of Chloe sitting on the chair with the headphones on, loving herself sick. And of course, we got a comment from a baby influencer.
Oh, really?
Hey, really love this photo. It's so cute. Would you know? Maybe like if you thought about getting involved with some sponsorship and production, I'm like. No, I think you'd be really disappointed. This is the
Chloe
only photo.
Might have other thoughts, you know. It's good. She's had a taste of fame now,
yeah.
And she's like hungry for more.
Out of control. She's at that age where she does a lot of pointing and like,
oh, right.
So, and then if you don't acknowledge what she's pointing at, that gets louder. So please don't do that as well, Mick. It gets annoying.
Sorry, I had to.
Yes, monitor, exactly. We've watched, I think, a few different things, which I'm really excited to hear about your opinion on one thing.
Okay.
I heard all about it on the weekend, and so I'm intrigued. And I've got a watching suggestion from Guy, who was on a few weeks ago.
Oh,
he sent in a message saying, have you watched something?
Right.
And I said, no, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a fair bit of news stories. We'll see if we can get through it all.
Cool.
We'll see how we go.
Sounds good.
See how we go.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. It's hard to believe that we have to wait a whole year for the town's next Jenga championship. What a weekend it was, filled with Jenga to the left, Jenga to the right, Jenga zigga-zigga-ring. There was travel Jenga, knockoff Jenga, mind Jenga, online Jenga, Jenga Jenga, battleship Jenga, Jenga so big that all the blocks had to be moved by cranes. There were wins, losses, draws, and a few accidents, but nothing the hospital's emergency department couldn't patch up. Congratulations to all the winners, and remember, what goes up must come down. The council would like to remind people that just because the Parks and Recreation's director looks like Leslie Knope, he isn't. Stanley Alberts has been heading up the department for over 30 years and has expressed confusion as to why there's been a sudden surge in Amy Poehler comments recently, seeing the program went off air in 2015. We then pointed out that the reunion special was on a few months ago. Alberts paused, closed his eyes and clenched his fists and then said, well, can you tell people to stop it, please? So, stop it, please. The library has announced that all Jedis who have library cards are welcome to borrow up to 20 books at a time. This is double the limit of normal townsfolk, so expect some arguments, then mind tricks, then total agreement. Empire Edition library cards will have to be handed in and a new Emperor Palpatine-less one will be issued. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I think probably the first story I want to throw at you is just a really quick one because Game of Thrones is over and done with and it feels like it was a lifetime ago now, doesn't it?
I was talking to my wife yesterday about the fact there hasn't been a big TV moment since Game of Thrones yet. I mean, I know it was only – how long ago was it? We finished like a year ago, year and a half?
Maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
But I'm sort of been trying to work out what the next Game of Thrones show will be. Like that'll be that big.
Because there have been big shows on, but they're not really –
but maybe it won't be another one because Game of Thrones started before the whole streaming thing really took off. So now there's so many other options.
So many.
That finding that one thing that everyone has to watch it may not happen for
that real water cooler thing. Because you think about big shows that have been around for a while like Stranger Things.
Mm. That's up there. Handmaid's Tale is pretty up there.
Handmaid's is up there, which I saw Elizabeth Moss has, I think it was on Instagram. She posted a picture. They're back filming again. Exciting. I think she's directing the episode they're filming at the moment too.
Okay. Is the next season in the can or not? No.
They were halfway through.
All right. So we're going to be another 6 months probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wondering how that's going to work out because of the seasons, as in like, autumn and spring. Like, how?
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's all out the window now, right? Like, right. I'll bump everything like at least 6 or 12 months.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But yeah, Game of Thrones. Hmm. So Kit Harington, of course, met his wife, Rose Leslie.
Yeah, Ygritte from the show, which is the best real life story to come out of a TV show. Like, you know, you always hope that those couples in the shows end up together, you know, the Rachel and the Rosses.
That's
actually
right.
Maybe not those two. Because his show's with Brad Pitt. But
that's true.
But there are definitely those in show relationships.
Like, why can't that be real?
Yeah.
Why can't it? And it is.
And it is.
And they're expecting their first baby. I did mention that it might be fun if they came up with a really cool Westeros themed name. But I reckon his real name is Christopher.
Mm.
Her name's Rose.
Yeah.
I read that they live in a country English mansion.
Whoa, as you do.
It's going to be a
Arthur
Beatrice. What about something like a Harold. Eugene, Harold.
Mm, Eugene? These are all royal names.
Eugene. Yeah, it is actually. Well, he was king for a little bit, right?
Yeah, it'd be good if they went really dark and fantasy-esque, named it Tyrion.
Are certain names from that show that they should not.
True.
Should not.
Yes. No.
Do not call it Cersei.
No. Imagine that. That would be amazing. What was the name of the son that was a crazy king, the young kid?
Oh, not Tommen.
The other one. Yeah, the one who got poisoned.
We always used to call him when we were watching it the Brat King.
The Brat, yeah.
Because he was
You could never use his name either, and I can't even remember what it was. As soon as I hear it, I'll remember, but yeah.
There's someone shouting at their phone right now whilst
totally.
Listening
Sorry.
To this.
Apologies. Game of Thrones feels like a long time
it
ago.
It really, really, really does. So congratulations to them for having, a new baby.
Yeah, good on them. You know who else is having a baby?
Who?
Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara.
Okay, first off, I didn't even know they were together.
Yeah, I know. Pretty cool couple.
Yeah.
I mean, Joaquin's an interesting guy. I think he's really a bit kooky, a bit out there. You know, he likes to immerse himself in roles very much so.
Yeah.
Rooney Mara, really great actress. And they're having a baby boy. What do you think they've called the baby boy, Olivia?
Well, I know what they've called
you
it.
You do, yes, of course. But if people out there have not heard, What would you really, really hope Joaquin would call his future son?
You're right. He's really done – it's like a fan service, isn't it?
It is. It is amazing. And for people who miss and love River Phoenix, it is a really great tribute to have his first son named River. I think it's beautiful.
So it will be River Phoenix.
Exactly.
Well, he will be River Phoenix.
I presume if it takes his surname,
yeah.
It will be River Phoenix.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, everyone was just like –
yeah.
You know, big sigh. Because, you know, everyone loved River. He was just such a...
He was a great actor.
Great actor, likable guy. Yes, he had some problems, obviously. And
yeah.
It was an unfortunate what happened to him. But, you know, Joaquin has always, I think, wanted to pay homage to his brother and he's done so. Yeah.
Do you reckon that he's had this idea for years and years and years?
Probably.
And I would imagine whoever ended up being the mother of the child, it'd be a bit hard to say no.
And it could have been a boy or a girl, I reckon.
Oh, for sure.
And you could use River for either.
Yeah, absolutely. River is a genderless name, that's for sure. I just think it's amazing. I think that now it is destiny that child becomes an actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems to be in the genes anyway, right? Like parent actors, their kids generally become actors. Parent musicians, their kids become musicians generally because they're just immersed in that world.
That's right.
From a very young age.
What I've enjoyed is watching Zoe Kravitz.
Because
she could have lived in both of those professions.
She sings too, right, I think?
I think she does sing.
I think she does both.
But she's an actress who looks like a rock star.
Yeah.
But then so does her mother. And her stepfather. That's a cool family.
It is a very cool family. And I loved High Fidelity. I'm really sad they're not bringing it back.
Me too. I loved the book.
Yeah.
I loved I did love the TV show, but the movie I thought was great. Mm. And I love that the TV show felt different.
It did. Yeah. And I felt there was some longevity there. I felt the characters could be progressed more. The second half of the season, you know, was getting really good. I thought the first half was a bit dodgy, but the second half was starting to develop really well. And yeah, no more. Anyway.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Don't know.
Is it COVID? I think they could have waited.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it'll get revived. Who knows?
Fingers crossed. Mm. Fingers crossed.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Speaking of things that are getting remade, revived, quick one.
Yes.
And I will be touching on Top Chef a little bit later on. But Top Chef has been renewed for its 18th season. It's being filmed in Portland, Oregon in the US. And they're already filming. They've got Padma, Tom, Gail, they're all there. And this show, I've only just started watching for the first time ever this year.
Okay, I've never watched it, I must admit.
I liked watching the first season a lot because it was at the beginning of reality shows.
So we're talking 18 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's from, maybe early 2005, maybe something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So it looks old, but in my mind, 2005 is not that long ago. So there's all these mixed emotions and stuff. But yeah, the style of filming is very different to what reality shows look like now.
Yep.
And then by the second season, they really got in their stride and it starts to look proper reality show.
Okay.
Now, I'm only up to the fourth season because that's all they've got on Netflix at the moment. And they do these amazing flips and turns and surprises with challenges for the contestants, I should say. So I'd be really interested to see how the 18th season stacks up with surprises, or if they're just like, you know what, we've done it all.
Not many reality shows last that long, you know.
No.
Yeah, you got your Survivors and Amazing Races, sure, but you know, dancing shows, music shows, you know, they all sort of have their time.
There's a shelf life for them for sure.
Is it very different to MasterChef? Or is it completely different? Like they're all in a house, you know, they're all...
It's similar.
Knocking them off one by one, doing challenges, box challenges. So it's similar.
It's similar, yeah. Okay. It is very similar. I think the first thing I've noticed that is different is that they all cook in the same kitchen. So they're running around each other, where MasterChef, they get their own...
Oh, yeah, their own bench is really separate. So they're all in one kitchen having to, like, find a little corner of the bench top to work on.
There was an amazing bit. I watched an episode last night. There's an amazing bit where somebody turned someone's brown rice off.
Oh, my. That's just...
And they get really bitchy. Like, they actually air dirty laundry to the judges who are just there. Well, I mean, the judges are there for the drama as well, but, you know, seemingly are just there to judge the food. And they're like, no, he turned my rice off. And the judges are like, what?
Oh, wow. That's really different to MasterChef because they don't have any of that sort of in-house drama going on. It's all about the cooking and
it's
the
all about the cooking. And I feel like in MasterChef they're more, you know, like they sort of stand up the top area and cheer each other on. Mm-hmm. It's more of an inclusive thing instead of a cutthroat. But maybe that's an American reality show genre though.
Yeah, every American reality show is pretty bitchy.
I'm not out to make friends, that kind of.
That's right. I do love comparing American, like, Survivor to Australian Survivor. I think there's real
different
dynamics going on. But I've really grown to love Australian Survivor. So, you know, American one's good now. I sort of watch it and go, oh, it's really different.
I think it's funny that American Big Brother has been going on for years.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't even know who watches it, but they just keep going.
Yeah.
And it's not like on every night, or it's like once a week sort of thing. Like, it's not it's not like a nightly update, what's happening in the house today. Yeah, I can't believe it's still going.
I think maybe because the American population is so much bigger that potentially they've just got more of a chance of a piece of pie that's profitable for people who have been watching it for 20-odd years. When was the first one here, 2000, 2001, ooh, something like that?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Around the very early 2000s, I applied.
Did you?
In the early days.
You applied for it?
Yeah.
In the first season or one of the others?
I think it was the very first season because they talked about it coming and I thought, hey, this looks like fun.
Mm.
But, my angle to get onto these shows is more just for the experience, for the fun. I didn't think about becoming like a star or getting a job on Neighbours. but apparently that's what people do. And they pick people who obviously will look well, good on TV, present well, and be entertaining. So I don't think I was going to tick those boxes.
Oh, Mick, you're selling yourself short. I must say, not only Neighbours but radio as well, because I remember – back when I was out in Dubbo, we would get applications for, you know, an announcer job, and there would always be at least one or two of that year's Big Brother people applying. Wow. Yeah.
And you know, they were trying to do the thing where you basically start in the regional there, because that's the way to get into radio, right?
That's the way you got to
go
get
for
in.
Every job as well.
Go for everything. Yeah. So we knew all of them. We're like, you know who that is.
The podcast that believes in pyramids of greatness. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, this was a cool Tom Hanks story.
Tom Hanks
has made it back to Australia to finish filming whatever he was filming here when he got COVID.
Elvis Presley biopic?
That's it. Yeah, the Baz Luhrmann thing. That's right. So he's been talking about the production and sort of behind the scenes of how they made some of the most iconic parts of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, really interesting. Forrest Gump, of course, one of those movies that just keeps going and going and going.
In many different senses of the word. Like, it is quite a long movie. Yes. But, 1994, something like that? Like, it's an old movie now, but I've seen it many times, I think.
Fan? Yeah.
I don't know. I do like Tom Hanks. Maybe that's why. You know, it's one of those things that if you see it on television, you're like, oh, yeah, watch that.
Yeah. I guess it's an easy movie just to jump in at any point because you sort of remember what's happening in these scenes. Oh, yeah, these scenes are exciting.
No, at all.
So what's happened? Like, why has this come out?
So he and the director have been talking about the fact that there were some scenes, particularly like him running across America, that Paramount said, that's too expensive. You can't make that. It doesn't bring anything to the story. And Tom Hanks said, well, it does. I'll pay for it. So he paid for the filming of that. There was some other, I think a couple of other scenes, but there was also insurance, like weather insurance for it. And, you know, the studio said, we're not paying for that. So he and the director said, well, we'll pay for it. He got his money back. He made over
Robert
60.
Robert Zemeckis?
That's it. Robert Zemeckis. They made so much money. Tom Hanks made over $60 million for that alone.
How much do you reckon he forked out for the running bits?
How long? Because they would have had to have gone to several different locations to film that across America. So it's a bit of a road trip.
It was a lot of cut scenes, wasn't it? Like they're in the snow, they're in the beach. They probably went to, I don't know, a dozen different locations.
Easily, right? And you think about now, like with the Mandalorian kind of way of filming, they would have just done all of that on a green screen.
And no one would know.
No one would have known. It would have taken maybe a week to make. But
he was banking on himself, right? Like, I guess the movie studio wasn't sure. Maybe they were like, Tom Hanks wasn't massive back then. Like, he was breaking into the sort of more dramatic roles.
Because he was sort of a comedian.
My favorite memories of Tom Hanks were when he was a comedic actor with Big and Money Pit. And
I love those two movies. Shelley Long, right?
Pit. I still remember Tom Hanks like that. But then he got serious and did Philadelphia, of course, and then Forrest Gump just really exploded him as a mainstream star.
For sure.
But I guess they weren't willing to front up the money because they weren't sure it was going to make it back. I don't know.
It was epic, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, imagine if they didn't have that scene, though. That would have chopped like 20 minutes out of the movie.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe Paramount was right. I don't know.
I just remember being long, Forrest Gump. Yeah.
I remember him doing some speech at a anti-Vietnam War thing in Washington.
In front of the Lincoln Memorial,
I think. Yeah. And then I think Jenny runs in the water and he's going, Jenny? And when I was there, I couldn't stop saying that out loud.
I bet you people recreate it and then people tell, get out of the water.
Get out of the water. I know what you're doing. You're not original. You're not clever.
Yep. Oh, classic.
But I love hearing those bits of, you know, inside, behind the scenes kind of stories about classic things. This made me think of another story because it's behind the scenes, but Apple, their streaming service, are going to be showing next February, I think it is.
Mm.
Billie Eilish tour, which I think is really exciting because they've been filming with her for several years.
Yeah.
They filmed a concert.
She's like, what is she, 18, 19 years old?
She's a prodigy. Like that, she is.
Her album only, like her debut album only came out last year, but she just went gangbusters, of course, around the world. And they must have decided really early to say, okay, we're going to make this into a doco in 3 or 4 years' time. Yeah. Let's start filming.
Filming for free, right? Because they wouldn't they wouldn't make the money until, I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
Yeah, you're probably right. Like they had to get permission to say, do you mind us filming? We're going to do a documentary. Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
And then they just have all this footage. They must have so much footage and they're going to somehow put it all together into a bit of a like a fly on the wall sort of thing, I guess, to sort of see how she's progressed over the last few years.
I'm picturing it to be like that with a mix of like that Madonna, what was it called, In Bed with Madonna or Truth or Dare, depending on what part of the world you are from, where it is the behind the scenes, but you get the concert as well. So it's sort of it interplays with the behind the scenes and actual concert footage. Mm. And I really like that kind of.
You're a fan?
Yeah,
Billie Eilish?
I like that. I like Billie Eilish. I like that kind of doco as well, where you get to see the concert, you get to see stuff that happened, you get to learn more about musicians who are touring or, I doubt she's got dancers, I don't know. But that kind of thing, like there's all these characters who, for her, her family, her life, her working family for several years, and we don't know anything about it because we just like the songs.
Yeah, yeah, I love it too. I love seeing behind the scenes of albums being made or concerts being done and stuff that you don't usually get to see.
Mm.
She works with her brother. Most of her music is done with her brother. So they're really close and they're really the music making process between the two of them. We've seen snippets of it here and there. And they've just got a really good working relationship in making these songs. So I mean, the fact that she's so young and she's allowed this to happen and it's going to be progressing from sort of being a mid sort of level star to one of the biggest musicians in the world. And it's going to be really interesting to see that progression, I reckon.
I'm also interested to see, because they're obviously going to touch on the fact that she's gone really anti-pop in her look, but it's also very, what's the word, like intentional.
It's a bit like your look, Leah.
It's my look.
You're very anti-podcast, but you know you've managed to pull it off. Anti-podcast look
seamlessly. Yeah. maybe I should have a doco about myself.
Haven't you been filming this whole time? I mean, where's the cameras every week?
Yeah, but we keep forgetting to put the capture cards in. I only film those things. Only film for half an hour. I don't know why I insisted on 4K.
Oh, yeah, the first 4K documentary and podcasting. No one's ever done it before. I mean, come on.
No one's done it. No one. I wonder why. Untapped. Can you imagine watching an edited version of me editing?
I'm strangely intrigued, you know?
No, you're not. You've seen it all before. You do it yourself. Although maybe it would be interesting because you'd be, I didn't know that shortcut, or why doesn't she know that shortcut?
Yeah, I'd just be critiquing you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what are you doing there? Turn that volume higher. It's not enough bass on that. Fine, edit it properly.
I remember a while ago I saw Nabil posted something, I think it was on Facebook, of him editing his podcast, but he fast-forwarded it. I'm like, that's a good tactic because that makes it look like people are like, wow.
Yeah, it's the way it makes you look like you're doing something, but you don't have to show them the details. Like,
surely. Oh. I reckon, though, he must have edited out the bits where he got sidetracked and went on Twitter for half an hour and then went back to it.
Didn't it take him ages? I remember seeing that. It was like it felt like a long bit to be fast-forwarding.
Yeah, it went for ages.
But editing can take a while.
It does.
Especially when babies are touching microphones.
That's right. Thanks, Chloe. That's really great. My favourite bit of last week was when I wasn't allowed to touch my phone, but my phone had to be in my lap.
Yeah.
Don't touch
they're
it.
They're the rules. I'll be dobbing on you if you touch your phone.
Thing is, I often do put it – you do as well, I know. So you either put on your lap or under your leg so that if it buzzes –
this has been vibrating, so in my hand you can't hear it.
Yeah, you can't hear it. Where if you put it on the desk, it's the loudest thing ever.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Granthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Ooh, okay. So New Zealand have been quite well known for doing COVID in a really effective way. Sorry, not doing COVID.
Yeah. NZ tackling, done good. Yeah.
Tackling COVID. So a lot of productions are back filming now. Big productions too. I'm talking about Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV series, which I do want to see.
Oh, that could be the next Game of Thrones moment.
It could be. Mm. I mean, because they've had a bit of practice, right? Yeah. So they know what they're doing. A couple of Netflix shows, one called it's a Japanese animation.
Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, like adapted into not real life. Live action into real life. And Sweet Tooth, which is a DC comic that's been adapted for Netflix as well. I think Robert Downey Jr. is behind that. He's executive producing.
That's nice.
But Cowboy Bebop's got John Cho in it, and they had to stop, not because of COVID, it's because he hurt his knee or something. They couldn't do anything. But everything,
good timing.
Great timing. Thanks, John. That's really good of you. But everything's coming back. They're all filming it. Avatar sequels,
98% done on the second one or something.
So close, right?
Really close. I mean, this has been the longest, most drawn out sequels ever. But
I watched the original movie like a year or two after it came onto DVD. Years after it had been a huge hit, it feels like a lifetime ago that I watched it.
I watched it in the cinema when the 3D fad had just started.
Yeah,
I watched it in 3D.
Yeah, right.
One of the opening weekends, and it was massive. But I haven't seen it since, so I cannot. Mm. I can't hardly even remember what happens in it, apart from it looking really pretty, and there are lots of floaty things in the air.
Floaty
with the 3D.
And then they were flying.
Oh yeah,
things.
Flying across the canopies and whatnot. Like, it was amazing.
It was very beautiful.
So I'll have to go back and watch it. Hopefully they'll put it all back in the cinema, the original as well, and we can watch it from the start.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
So that's all coming back.
Okay.
So we may only get things from New Zealand for a while.
Well, Queensland's filming a lot more too now.
That's true. That's why Tom Hanks is there.
Tom Hanks is there, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson is looking to film his new show up in Queensland.
Oh.
Starting very, very soon. I think is it called Little Young Rock or something like that? It's like a bit of a sitcom, I think, but it's like also about him. I don't understand if it's a sitcom or
it's
a reality
thing.
Oh,
There was that sitcom. Was it Chris Rock?
Chris Rock.
Was it? And it was like, it was an actor playing him, but back when he was a kid in the 70s. Oh, I feel like that's a thing.
That does ring a bell. I think maybe this is maybe something similar. I'm not sure. But they're filming in Queensland, around the Brisbane, Gold Coast, and up in North Queensland.
Awesome.
And The Rock will be in it. He's very involved in it. Oh, so he'll be in Australia, hanging out soon.
Hiding out.
Get him on the show, eh?
Yeah, we should. That's a good idea. It shouldn't be difficult.
No worries.
Just a really quick one. So Disney's D23 Expo was supposed to be next year. They're pushing it back to 2022, and whilst that seems like a really long way off, I figured out why they've done it.
Mm.
It's to coincide with Disney's 100th anniversary. Like, that makes sense.
Okay.
So D23 is like their fan club.
Yep.
So I think it's like the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, is that
cooler.
Signifying 1923 when they started?
That's it. Okay. No, that doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, I mean, that'll be their 100th year in 2022.
Reaching
to 2023.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Maths is difficult for me. But it's kind of like a convention, so I also understand why they're holding it off, because they want the crowd to get in there. They want all the things. They showcase everything that they're doing.
So they're putting it off a whole year. So it was going to be on next year. Now it's going to be the year after. So they got ages. A year and a half or so, I suppose.
They may have some new Star Warsy things by then, but it'd be series, because I know they've got a few TV shows.
I wonder what they've got planned. Like, 100 years, huge events. Disney's obviously bought up a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
But I mean, for us oldies, Disney is about the cartoons. It's about the old movies.
Absolutely.
Mickey Mouse, all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
I suppose they're always trying to revive that sort of old schooly stuff, but I wonder if they've got some sort of plans around that.
There's a funny thing about Disney, or at least their streaming service, because I think for some people they don't want to get it because there's not that many new things. You know, Netflix and Hulu and stuff, they always feels like there's something new coming almost every week.
I've been this close to cancelling my Disney Plus multiple times because we just don't use it.
Because of that, yeah. But I also think the other reason that it exists is because it's got that back catalogue. So it's not necessarily the new stuff. It's stuff that you can sit and watch at any time. So it's the nostalgia strings there.
Oh, I love High School Musical. I just go back and watch that.
favourite.
But more favorite. So, I watched The Old Lady and the Tramp the other day.
Yeah, right.
Just the original because I'm sort of refusing to watch the remakes.
I haven't watched the remade
Lion King, the remade Lady and the Tramp, the remade, I think, there's Mulan, I think.
Yeah. But also that's premium at the moment, so you'd have to pay extra to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even realise.
Yeah, so don't accidentally press that button.
Okay. I didn't realise there was another tier of this
Yeah,
thing.
Well, there is, I think, just for that at the moment. I think it's okay. The first one, I think, because they kept holding off. They wanted a theatrical release for it, and then they realised that just wasn't going to get enough money.
You're going to pay extra to watch that.
I think it's $30 or something.
Okay.
So it's not that much, but if you pay $100 or whatever it is for a year, that is a lot.
Well, I am now looking forward to the second season of Mandalorian, which is sort of why I got it in the first place.
Same.
And I just read that this Nick Fury TV show is going to come on Disney Plus as well with Sam Jackson. So that's, I'm not a massive, massive Marvel fan, but I love Sam Jackson. I love that character. So that could be keep me going.
I'm intrigued about that WandaVision. Mm. There's so many TV show references that I get. That I think for that alone, I'm intrigued. I know Tom knows the whole backstory of the character, and I don't.
I don't know much about it, to be honest.
No, he's the comic guy. He's the comic guy.
He is. And I always listen back to these episodes and go, sometimes Tom gets on his tirades about something, and you just go, I can just fast forward a few minutes here. Sorry, Tom.
It's funny. I was listening to a different podcast yesterday, and someone. Like one of them, he was going to start talking about a golf player, right? Oh, golfer. There you go. And he goes, and he says to the other one, he goes, "Do you like golf?" And she went, "Yeah, I'm neutral to it. You can tell me the story, but just don't give me the names." And that's how I feel about some of the comic stuff because there's not enough hours in the day to read all of that back history. Like he's grown up with it.
Yep.
For me, I'm just like, it's too daunting. Just give me like the short notes.
Yeah, I got to a point where I loved comics when I was a kid, but I couldn't keep up anymore and I just didn't devote the time to doing it. And so I just let it go.
Yeah.
And I sailed into the sunset knowing that I'll never know the backstory of every single DC or Marvel comic until Tom tells me.
Yeah, you'll be okay. you can ask Tom or give it a Google.
And that's
it's
good.
Either
and
way.
There's always someone you'll know and I can someone. Just ask them.
Exactly. Should we get into some watching suggestions?
Okay.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So the first one neither of us have watched.
Okay.
Because Guy sent a message in and he said he's got a watching suggestion, Raised by Wolves. He said it's so good. This season is wrapping up, so it's a great time to catch up on it. And I thought we'd give that as a bit of a heads up because, at least in New South Wales, we've got a long weekend coming up.
Yeah, we do.
So people can.
Well, not some people do. I get Monday off. But
do you know what day I'm working out of the three? Sunday. Of course I am.
How did that happen, Leah?
Because I didn't pay attention until the last minute. And I can't be like, oh, I don't want to now. Yeah, so Raised by Wolves, I might check it out. I'm pretty sure it's got that Aussie actor who was in Vikings in it. I've seen the poster for it.
Is it a series or a movie?
It's a series.
Series. Okay. And
it's HBO.
Yeah, right. I feel like I've seen the trailer somewhere around. Yeah, yeah. And Guy's already seen it.
He's already seen it.
Well, look at him on the ball.
I have to get him back again, ask him all of the questions.
And he's got that great accent too.
He does. He does, doesn't he? It's funny how he's been here for so long and he's still got it.
I know. I feel like he'd gone via satellite to England to get it.
That's right. Kind of like Heath, but he's actually in Vegas. So he's got the real deal. So I think the first one we need to talk about is that weird octopus thing that everyone is talking about. Like I caught up with some friends for a picnic on the weekend and there was this whole discussion about it.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was like, what? I need to watch this. But also they were only talking about the most ridiculous bits. And when you said you watched it, I went, okay, now I'm going to get like the proper review of it.
Oh, well.
So what's it called first off? What's the actual name?
My Octopus Teacher. Three words don't really fit together.
No.
I had to actually double check that was the order of the words. It's not my teacher octopus or octopus teacher the. My octopus teacher. And they try and tie it into a more life, more about life lessons for this father who is, I guess, midlife crisis-ish. He's spent his life making film, like animal documentaries and traveling around Africa and the Kalahari and stuff like that, and loved watching these native Africans connect with nature and animals in such a way that he could never do because he was behind the camera, not worrying about it. And I think he maybe mid-50s, had a bit of a midlife crisis and decided to return to his childhood home on the coast of Cape York, I think, South Africa, and reconnect with the water. And that's sort of the premise of the show is this guy, he's got a son, he's got a wife. You don't really see him too much. The son comes into it later as the key part of this is that he wasn't able to connect with his son because he was in such a bad way around life. And, you know, it's quite a nice story, but it's all narrated by him, the actual guy who not only, you know, is the subject of the show, but he wrote it and filmed it all and narrates it. And so it's all just him.
It's a passion project.
And, the ridiculousness of this is that this guy in freezing cold waters on the south tip of South Africa goes into the water, into the ocean with nothing on top, no wetsuit, like there's some like little shorts and goggles, no scuba gear, just jumps into the water every single day to connect with nature. And he starts doing this and just exploring around. And he comes across an octopus, a normal octopus, nothing fancy, but it's
normal,
an octopus.
Run-of-the-mill octopus.
But it's a cool, really well filmed. Like this is amazingly filmed. This whole thing, it's just he's filming it himself with some really good gear.
Yeah.
And he's obviously got history in this sort of stuff. But the way that it's told through imagery and he's chasing this octopus around and he's somehow doing this, a lot of it by himself, I think. He's also putting the camera in the ground and filming stuff.
So yeah.
But he's underwater like probably all day.
That's crazy.
Pruny as.
Hypothermia, what?
But he's built this into a really nice story about him meeting this octopus, the octopus getting to know him and going back every single day just to sort of track it, see what it's doing, learn about what's happening.
How big is this octopus?
Ignore his son. it's normal octopus size, which starts out young. Do you know how long octopuses live for?
No.
Only just over a year.
Oh.
That is it. How long does this documentary go for?
A year.
About a year.
Oh, right.
And so it tells you day, but obviously not every day, but it tells you periods of days as you're going along. And he's going into that water every single day for about a year. So just everything, the premise all around it is really amazing. The fact that he's filmed this from the very start, the first time he ever met the octopus, getting to know it. And it's amazing. Like eye-opening doco and just so well done.
He can't have started that doco knowing that that was going to be.
Well, and that was the thing. He actually started doing these dives and this swimming to get away from filming. He actually lost the passion for filming animals and he just wanted to connect with the water and he didn't care about the filming. That was just not on part of it. But he happened to have his camera there when he first met the octopus. And then I guess those little cogs started turning in his head.
Oh, here we go.
Actually, this could reunite me with my passion for animal documentaries but also for the water at the same time. And he wanted to have that feeling of being in an animal's world, you know, and immersing themselves in it and knowing what's going on. And he did that and he just, you know, it was not only reconnecting with his youth and his love of animal photography but ultimately, yes, with his son. He reunites and it all becomes lovely and wrapped up in the end.
I reckon if the octopus wasn't a main factor or the star of it, I would imagine trying to sell that, people would be like, are you trying to get eaten by great whites? Because they hang around there, right, don't they?
Well, you would think so. I mean, you hear of great whites hanging around South Africa all the time.
Yeah.
He's going to a quite sheltered little sort of, what do they call it?
Like an alcovey kind of thing.
Yeah. It's of some sort of garden. I can't remember the plant.
An octopus's garden?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's amazing. Oh, now
everyone's singing it.
Why didn't you call it that? Welcome to my octopus's garden or something.
He ruined it, didn't he?
In the shade, in the sea. Octopus's garden.
I like to be.
Yeah, they didn't even use that song. Oh, my God.
What a wasted opportunity. Maybe that's why they called it My Octopus Teacher, was because they couldn't get the copyright.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, really good soundtrack too, by the way.
Beautiful, right.
Beautiful soundtrack.
So is it a series or just a one-off doco?
One-off, about an hour and a half.
Perfect.
Easy to watch and, you know, it's really, really well done. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but yeah, I sort of hinted before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I kind of picked up on that one. We were talking about Stranger Things, and Millie Bobby Brown is obviously the star of Stranger Things. And seven. I saw, yeah, she's seven, not 11, no. Seven.
Yeah.
And we've seen her grow up, and I know that that character is nothing like her because I've seen her interviewed, and she's so bubbly and happy. And when I saw that there was a Sherlock Holmes-style movie with her in it on Netflix and Henry Cavill playing Sherlock Holmes himself, Helena Bonham Carter in there as well. I'm like, I've got to watch this. Enola Holmes.
I've heard of this too. I've seen a preview trailer because they always pop up on Netflix.
Yes.
You know?
That's where I saw it.
Good?
Yeah. I got to a point because, you know, you watch it going, okay, I need to think of things to talk about in it, you know, if it's good. And I was honest, genuinely enjoying it. It looks great. And then after a while I went, I think I'm enjoying it because I'm enjoying her. She's so charming. She's funny. She talks to camera a lot, which I think some people might not enjoy, you know, that breaking that fourth wall. But it kind of works for her and for this. And I reckon this is more of her than anything we've ever seen her in before. And I really hope they make others because it is based off a young adult's book series.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. I'm really stoked that it's good because, you know, so often Sherlock Holmes-y sort of things sometimes don't land. I mean, they have. I still love Robert Downey Jr.'s.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, I love those ones. And, of course, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, Cumberbun. Yeah. I was so close Cumberbun. To accidentally saying. He's got one of those names where you're like, don't say the wrong thing.
Crumbles,
don't say the
crumble snatch. Yeah. You can do all sorts of versions.
Do them all. I think she is that generation's next leading, proper leading sweetheart.
Yeah.
Because she's a bit sassy. She can play that superhero kind of Stranger Things character. She can play the super, you know, like girl power Sherlock Holmes character. And she gets to do her English accent.
Yeah, right. And she's good at it? So
she's English.
Oh, she's English. Oh, all right. Of course. You know, I forgot that she
But
was.
You'd think for someone who spends their time working in the US at that age, it might be something that you lose, you know. Yeah. But no, she's...
Well, hopefully. I mean, if she's a great actor, already showing she's a great actor, I think, and at this age, you know, sky's the limit, right?
She's one to watch. I'm calling, I don't know why I'm calling
she's
it now
win
after
an Oscar,
Stranger
isn't she,
Things.
Leah? She's
I reckon
win an
she
Oscar.
Will. I reckon she will. And she'll thank us for suggesting it on the podcast. Anything else that you've been getting into recently?
It's been a funny time. You know, obviously we've spent a lot more time at home over the last 6 months or so. I guess the big one for my wife and I is that we went through all the five seasons of a show called Line of Duty. Have you ever talked about that?
No.
I don't think
so. It's not Call of Duty.
No, not Call of Duty. No, we haven't been playing Call of Duty.
Imagine playing all of those. It'd still be going.
This is a British cop show. It's actually filmed in Northern Ireland.
Oh, I know this one.
And it's all about the, I guess, the undercover, not the undercover, the investigative unit of the police.
Yeah.
The one that all the police hate.
I
think in America they call it internal affairs.
Kind of thing where who's policing the police?
Exactly.
Us.
So there's like five seasons of this and it's only six or eight episodes each season. So it hasn't been too hard, but it's just one of those things. I think it came onto Netflix, but only after four seasons had already been played somewhere else.
Which is great. It means you've got them all.
Exactly. So we've been watching through all that. And it's one of those shows that we sort of got halfway through, it was so hooked. And then a sort of fourth, fifth season weren't as great. And we're like, oh, we've got to watch it all now.
So close.
Because there is a new season coming. So we're like, we want to catch up and get to that. But it is really, really good. And I love seeing English cop shows because they're just very,
they do it
very
so
different
well.
To American cop shows. But also shocking things happen. You're just like, what? things you weren't expecting.
And that's
always obviously the big shock things at the end of episodes is like a normal thing now. But I just feel like they did it really well in this show. So that's what I've been catching up on for the last, I guess, 6 months.
Are you a Witcher fan?
I have played the game.
Yeah.
And like, I like the game, but I wasn't, I'm one of those things that just takes so long to play that I just sort of gave up on it.
It's one of the longest it games.
Takes forever.
Yeah. And then they had two DLCs, so that's even worse.
And I haven't, I've been told to watch the show and I haven't watched it, unfortunately, because I think I'd like it, but my wife doesn't. So,
so you'd have to watch it by yourself.
Yeah.
It's not the same for that kind of thing.
I like watching
agree.
Shows with her, so we're trying to find things you want to watch together. And
yeah,
I want to watch
course.
The boys, and she doesn't want to watch the boys. So I've got to watch that by myself as well, which is just hard to find the time sometimes.
Well, yeah, hard to get alone time if you're both sitting down wanting to watch something at the same time. You're like, I'll be in this room.
Yeah, well, I let her watch RuPaul. She can let me watch the boys.
That sounds like a fair enough, I reckon. Reckon that's what you should be working towards.
Totally.
But on Netflix, I watched this weeks ago and I keep forgetting to mention it, but I watched Making the Witcher. It's just one episode.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of reminds me, did you see, we were talking about Game of Thrones earlier, but did you see that episode at the end of Game of Thrones? It was like an hour-long special where it was, they went through.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like that, but obviously just off. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's really good. It's really fast. To the point where I went, oh, I could have done with a bit more of that.
Yeah.
But it did psych me up for the next season, which is a bit of a worry because they're still filming it.
Oh, is it a prequel the next season or something?
No, it's just a continuation.
Okay. So I haven't kept up with it. But so is it worth going and watching it, like the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was quite complicated.
Yeah. I can make it easy for you right now. It's not much of a spoiler if you want me to.
It's all right.
It's just the three main characters, it's different timelines.
Oh, okay.
The minute you figure that out, you're like, oh, now I'm not going to spend this whole episode being confused. You're like, oh, okay, right, okay. Because you know the characters because they're from the games and the books.
Sure.
But you're like, why?
I think it's the fantasy element that my wife doesn't like. Yeah, that's fair. We got into Game of Thrones, of course, because it was such a zeitgeist sort of thing. But generally she's just like, oh, this is just make-believe. You know, it's not – she likes real life sort of things.
This is more fantasy than Game of Thrones as well.
And we like apocalyptic stuff.
Me too.
You know, Walking Dead, et cetera. Yeah. But we actually – what we have been watching is War of the Worlds.
Was that the BBC one?
BBC one, which I think second season is being filmed right now.
Oh, right, okay.
We're nearly through the first season and really digging it because I just love the angle that European or English shows take as opposed to American ones that we're so used to.
Yeah.
So many times if things will happen in the episodes and we go, they wouldn't have done that in an American version, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Just the way that the decisions they decide to make.
Yeah.
It's actually quite refreshing.
I didn't know they were making a second season, so now I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's good. It's quite enjoyable. It's apocalyptic and sort of there's a few similarities to other apocalyptic things, but it's not really that based on War of the Worlds so far.
It's a bit different.
It's pretty different. They've used the name and that's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. I like it. It's good fun. And you can just watch it on SBS on demand, I think.
How easy is that?
You know, spruiking SBS.
Yeah, you've got to. We've already done Handmaids. We're in there. The last thing I wanted to talk about is not necessarily a show. It's a game, and I've been playing it with my cousins on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Among Us. A lot of people have been talking about it, and it's kind of like – it's like a murder mystery party. But it's within a game. So your character – your little avatars, I guess, on a spaceship, and one person's an imposter who goes around, sabotages and kills people, right? Oh. And everybody else has got these tasks basically to keep the ship going. But the imposter keeps sabotaging and breaking things and you have to run around and then, you know, you might find a dead body and the second you find a dead body, you have to call a meeting. And you're like, right, now we've got to figure out which one of these people it is. And everyone's like, it wasn't me. Where did you find the person? That sounds suspicious. You can't remember exactly the name. It's really fun. Takes a while to figure out exactly what the hell is going on. You can play on PC as well.
Wait, is this a collaborative thing where you play
online.
At the same time as other people?
It's online, yeah.
Whoa.
So you just play online.
That sounds fun.
Playing on my phone. It was really easy, but I would have preferred on like a computer or a controller or something because I found it a bit...
Yeah, phone games, you know.
And trying to control while you're on a touch screen. But I was also finding that if I had a message, like if someone sent me a text or whatever, I'd go out and then it would kick me out of the game, obviously to stop cheating.
Oh, right. Is it like that? So if you're in the middle of a scene or in the middle of something, they don't want you to jump out and look at like that, spoilers.
That's what I'm thinking because I jumped out twice and then I couldn't get back in.
Oh.
Yeah. So –
But if you've got it on your computer, then you would be able to do
then
that.
Then you would be able to do it anyway, right? So yeah.
Maybe it's just a dodgy app.
Yeah, maybe. It probably is because it was free. I think you've got to pay on Steam, but on the App Store it's free.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have seen people play it on Twitch and they are playing with a group of people they know because you can play with strangers or a group or a mix or like your group can join a game. I think it's 10 people in a game. And they play over Discord as well, so they're talking to each other. So they mute when they're going around and doing their tasks, and then when it's time to have a meeting to discuss who's died and why, that's when they get back on and they're like, where were you? What's going on?
How clever.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
This game apparently has been around for a couple of years, but nobody was playing it. But due to, you know, pandemic time, someone's noticed it and gone, oh, let's do it. And it's just – it's taking off, so much so that the game developers – we're planning on bringing out a sequel and now they're like, well, we're not because everyone's only just discovered this.
Just expand the original.
We're just going to expand the original.
Among Us, right?
Among Us.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's very easy to get the hang of, but also at the same time there's a lot going on.
Yep.
There was one where I knew who the murderer was or the imposter they call it. And I'm like, okay, I know who it is. Next time we have a meeting, I'm going to say – and then I saw them do something really dodgy and I went, oh, I've got to run away because he might try and kill me.
Yeah, right.
Except he locked the door and I got stuck and he did kill me.
So you knew it was them and you still couldn't get away.
I couldn't get away and then they called a meeting. I couldn't say anything because I was dead. I know. It was very, very
sounds
annoying.
Sounds intense. Love it.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. It's like those it's a murder mystery party. I know there are a few board games.
Remember it was How to Host a Murder?
It's that kind of thing. Yeah.
I used to love those.
But less role-playing though.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it's a bit hard to text and
– I can't get dressed up in ye olde 1940s gear.
I don't know. They'll probably bring out some sort of microtransaction where you can dress up as King Henry VIII or something. But, no, a lot of fun.
I just do that for fun anyway.
Yeah, I've seen you – it's amazing the way you just wander around the office doing that and shouting at people.
Demanding their heads. And
you're off with your head.
Yeah.
Or hang on, is that him or is that the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland?
I don't know.
Maybe she was based on...
He had lots of wives, didn't he?
He did.
That was what he did, yeah.
Yeah, about 4,500, give or take a few hundred.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, instead of a quiz today, I've been really enjoying the Would You Rather, Would You Rather Do a Would You Rather.
Let's do it.
Because it's good because it's called Would You Rather Mick Edition.
These are ones that you were going to do in while I was here last time and we didn't do?
Yeah, they are. They are actually.
That's good.
Because I realised that I had to change some of them because Steph would have been like, I don't care.
Mind you, I think you only had last week was Would You Rather go to the Emmys, like a TV or movie awards or music awards, and I felt like that was, you know, on purpose targeted at me because I'm a big music fan.
That's right.
And that I would, but I was thinking about it on the way here. I was like, I actually think movie and TV show nights are good because you get a bit of both. You get music. You always music
That's
features.
True.
Like the Oscars always have live music and
That's
all the
a good
play
point.
All play. So you get a bit of both. Whereas music is just music. They don't have else.
And the thing about like American music awards, like the Grammys and that, is that there are genuinely people you don't know because they're only popular in America.
Totally. Always. Grammys are like a mystery to me because I don't follow the charts in America very closely. No. And so these artists come up and go, who is this?
Yeah, that's right.
Unless it's like Kanye or Beyonce or, you know.
Lizzo
or,
yeah, exactly.
Swift. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Okay, this is definitely a Mick Taylor one.
Cool.
Would you rather see one of your favourite bands in a small venue or watch a heap of your favourite bands and singers at a huge festival where you can't get to all of the stages so you've got to figure out who you want to see?
Oh, to remember having these actual life problems, it feels like so long ago. I've probably had this Would You Rather occur to me many times. And you say Would You Rather a big band in a small venue? I would definitely choose that every single time because it's a much more unique experience to be in a smaller crowd with a band that you really, really love.
For them as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's intimate. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I feel the festivals sometimes you get lost in the whole cloud of it all. And, yeah, I've had some amazing festival experiences, but not as many as yeah. those little crowds in a small venue.
Yeah.
We've missed that so much.
There's been a few of them. How many? So big acts like just solo singers or bands in a small venue. Can you think of any off the top of your head that you've managed to get in for free?
I mean, I managed to get tickets because I review gigs, right? So especially if there's about 4 years ago, there was an opportunity to see Dave Grohl and his covers band.
Yeah, right.
And they were doing a special gig at the Oxford Art Factory in Sydney, which is a pretty small venue, maybe about 300 or 400 people, I guess. And the only way you could get tickets was to line up at midday and then the first few hundred people got tickets just in line.
Yeah.
It was free. Like it didn't cost any money. You just had to be there. So I skived off work. I ran down there. I lined up for however long. Totally, yeah. But I was in like, they closed the door. They closed the line and said, all right, that's it. Sorry, guys. And I was about 30 people away from getting in. But they took our details down just in case they could find a little bit more room for people.
And
I got a call at like 7 o'clock at night. The gig started at 8.
Oh, my God.
And I got an hour to rush down there. I got in the door. It was the most crammed ever. But, yeah, seeing Dave Grohl in a small venue playing rock classics, it was a magic night.
Were there any songs like that you remember and you're like, oh, I didn't know he would ever cover this?
Well, he did AC/DC, right? Mm. And you know, hearing Dave Grohl sing AC/DC was amazing.
Yeah, that would have been.
I did some classic Led Zeppelin. It was all like classic rock stuff. And I think people were wanting to play like Nirvana or Foo Fighters stuff. He didn't play any of that.
And he does that all the time anyway.
It was all just covers. And this is like an all-star covers band called Chevy Metal. That he travels.
That's a good name.
And he actually flew people out from the band just to play that gig. And he planned it all the way along, but it was just a magic opportunity. And Foo Fighters have done similar things. They've played like really small gigs around the country just when they're here. So, you know, and I think for me the big opportunity to see international bands that I love in small venues before everyone sort of knows who they are, you know, that they do pop up and often they're like special industry gigs. So
if
you know people in the biz, you can get those extra little free tickets and you go along.
Work your contacts.
Yeah, it's all about the contacts.
I get it. I remember we somehow managed to wrangle tickets to see Pink at the Metro. But we sort
Metro
of
Metro too. It's a small venue. Was when you were working for
Dubbo. Yeah, Zoo FM.
Yeah, right.
And she did a lot of covers. She sang Niles Barkley's Crazy. I remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just there. Anyway,
that's so cool.
I don't mind Pink. You know,
I like Pink. I've never seen her live, and I've got a similar story in that I got offered or asked to take photos or video of Pink backstage
really?
By a promoter, but he asked me like last minute, and I was like, I don't have the gear. Like I needed to have the gear, and I could fudge it and just do something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I mean, this is awesome, amazing opportunity, but I'll hand you to someone who's actually got the gear and knows what they're doing, because I would have felt like pretty bad.
On my phone. I'm going to take some photographs.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I know, concerts, right?
Yeah.
All right, this is still along the COVID lines.
Okay.
Would you rather a tabletop Zoom read of a movie that can't get made? So not like the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean like one that they just can't make because COVID.
Okay, yeah.
Or would you rather just wait for the whole thing to be made and watch it for real?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of table reads a little bit. I sort of like the idea when there's like big actors doing it and it's sort of a bit of fun.
Novelty kind of thing.
Yeah. And maybe I'd almost like it if it was a show that you know wasn't going to be made. It was just like a complete made up,
fabricated
scenario. But I don't like spoilers either. I like seeing things for the live for the first time. I like seeing them before knowing the storyline or what's going to happen.
Still, that's how I still remember that's how I experienced The Matrix. I just knew that it was filmed in Sydney.
Yeah, right. I mean, no one really knew what that was about.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so cool watching it for the first time. What?
I don't think it's stood the test of time so much. Maybe it has. I still love it. I mean, because I can hark back to how I felt when I first saw it. But some people watch it now and go, I don't get it. You know?
There are so many iconic lines, though, from it. I was surprised when I only watched it like last year or something. I was surprised with how many iconic lines are in there.
Yeah. I mean, Red and Blue Pill is going to be forever, right? That's become just part of our lives.
Yeah. And the glitch in The Matrix, you know, the deja vu bit.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I saw a black cat and then I saw it again and everybody freaked out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Now that it's become such a common thing, not a would you rather, do you rather work from home or go into the office.
Oh, so relevant.
I know.
Because I have the option, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do alternate. I go home one day, office next day.
Probably the best of both worlds, really.
So I do get a bit of both. But I'm really bad with motivating myself to work at home, and especially in a job where a lot of my work involves being on the ground and seeing what's happening and responding to things and immersing myself in that daily work thing. When I'm at home, I miss all that.
Yeah.
And so I almost feel like I'm not working at all because I'm not experiencing any of the stuff that happens at work.
So you're almost – do you kind of feel like not guilty but like, well –
Yeah.
I can't be there.
I feel like I'm doing nothing or I'm not. I'm sending emails.
Yeah,
I hope that helps.
Yeah.
It's so relevant for people. Like, my wife loves working at home. She's been working at home nonstop for 7 months now and doesn't want to go back to an office at all because she likes being able to do things her own time, not getting distracted, you know, having a tea, having the window open. Yeah. It's really actually a nice environment. And I do like having music on. I do like having the window open. I do like not getting changed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working in my pajamas along with 80% of the population.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You can wear whatever. So there are parts that I like, but it gets a bit old after all, doesn't it?
Well, I've been mainly coming to work because there's enough space for people here to be able to have their own office, like their own room.
Yeah.
Also for me, sometimes if I work from home, which is very rare, I think I've only ever done it maybe twice for this job, but sometimes I feel resentful. I'm like, but I'm at home. Don't ask me to do work now, even though it's work hours.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to do it. But I used to. So when I was doing breakfast radio, you couldn't get up at like 2 a.m. and prep the whole show on a Monday morning. So you'd do some stuff on Sunday because you just had to, right?
Sure.
But I would get what was the equivalent of half a day's work if you were in the office, done in like a couple of hours. Because there was no one there to distract me. I was motivated to get it over and done with so that I could enjoy my Sunday.
Sure.
But also you didn't have those people who'd wander around where, you know, they'd just come back with the cup of tea.
Just come back for a chat, you know, just hang at the desk and just talk.
Yeah, you're going and you're like, oh. I mean, I do like a chat, but I want to get this done now.
But we are missing that social interaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
I miss that at home. I think it's a big thing for people who have been working home the whole time. Like, you don't have that social interaction with anybody else, that water cooler chats that we're talking about. Like, it just – it misses all that stuff.
And structure as well.
Yeah.
You know, like get up, go to work. At least it's a change of environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I decided in the end, but I think it was
a bit of both.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It depends. Which one?
Depends on the day. I like a bit of both.
Depends. What's your preferred thing to eat when you're allowed to go back to a movie theater and you watch a movie? What do you always have to order?
Well, it's always popcorn. I mean, I cannot. Even if I've been to like 3 movies in 3 weeks, and I get to have the popcorn, I'm like, I'm a bit over popcorn, but I can't not eat popcorn. In a movie theater,
it's impossible. I am with you.
And I always get too big a bucket, and I always have way too much.
Yeah.
And my mouth's all dry because if it's so much salt.
But then you also don't want to drink your drink too quickly because then you don't want to have to go to the loo halfway through the movie and miss out on it.
I always get a massive drink, but I always run out of drink before the popcorn runs out too, which is a problem. Take an emergency bottle of water. I've found is a good idea.
Yeah, a bottle of water is a good one.
I don't get anything but popcorn.
What about Choc Top? Do you like a Choc Top?
Now and then, Palace Cinemas have really good Choc Tops.
Yeah.
They're like handmade-y sort of ones.
Yeah, nice.
And they're just really good flavors. So
yeah.
I dig those. But, not so much because you've got to have it quickly and you want it. The popcorn's
fresh. Yeah, you've got to have it first.
And you don't want it, and you can't – mixing the two, I just don't – it doesn't quite work.
This is my internal monologue as well. It's like I want both.
Yeah.
But now I've got to have the dessert first because popcorn's obviously a main course.
If you go to like a fancy deluxe cinema thing and then you can get the Choc Top delivered halfway through the movie at a certain time, that's what you do.
That's the trick.
It is.
Because some of the things that they have on offer there, you can't eat in the dark.
True. I like a bottle. What? You're like what, fancy feeds.
I mean, I'm sure they don't, but imagine trying to eat a Luxa. I'm sure that's not a thing.
You come out and just be like, oh, have you?
You know one of those plastic bibs, you know, that kids have? It's a little, like the little ladle at the bottom.
Yes. You can just drink it out of the little bib bowl.
Oh, I miss Luxas, actually. Now I want one. We've only got 2 left.
Okay.
Would you rather, what's the segment called? Would you rather sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch a movie or whatever sport is on?
Oh, again, this is quite relevant because it comes down to who's playing. If it's my team, my rugby league team specifically, or a team that I really, really follow, and they're playing a game that night, I will watch the sport because that's a one-off. You got to watch it live.
You got to watch them live. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If it's other sport I'm not that interested in and there's a show that I'm really digging and I want to watch on a Sunday, I'll go to the show.
Yeah.
I've started a little mini club with some friends called Sunday Afternoon Movie Club.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that's what it's called. I just made
it is
up.
Now.
And there's four of us and we all have to nominate movies we've never seen that we want to see.
Mm.
And then we all vote for a movie during the week that we're going to watch that Sunday night.
So is it like a poll? You got like four options.
Yeah, we got a poll and like Facebook Messenger, and you can only vote for movies that you haven't seen.
Yep.
And it's just a new thing we're doing on a Sunday arvo. So that's similar situation. You come up with like a sport, and I was like, "Oh, guys, this is a sport going on, but you're doing this movie club now." I'm like, "Oh, I'm torn."
You're like, I may or may not be able to be in every single one of these movie sessions now.
Footy season's nearly over.
It is. How many more weeks?
Four weeks.
Yeah. Right. Mm. How are the Eels going?
Oh, very well, thank you. They're third on the ladder. They finished third on the ladder, which means they played 2 weeks of the finals guaranteed.
Oh, yes.
You know what? The first night, the Saturday night, clashes with my wedding anniversary dinner, doesn't it? So how do I watch? It's another would you rather. Would you rather go to a wedding anniversary dinner with your wife or watch your team play the finals football?
So
I have no choice.
Yeah, I know you don't have a choice. Can you? Yeah.
It just happened to land on the same night.
You'll just have to record it, the game. Obviously not the wedding anniversary. That's impossible.
Can we just get a doggy bag from the restaurant? See you later.
Hey, let's watch it at home. That's a difficult one. Just out of interest because I haven't been keeping up, how are the Tigers going?
Well, the Tigers played the Eels last weekend in the final round of the season.
Yep.
And the Eels beat them in the last minute. Tigers finished about 9th or 10th.
That sounds like a place that they would.
It's usually where they end
that's
up.
That's where.
Just out of the finals.
My memory is going to Leichhardt Oval with my dad and my grandparents watching them. Yeah, all the time. So every now and then I like to check up with someone. I go, rugby league is one of those games where if it's on television and the TV's on that, I'll sit there and watch it, but I won't remember to watch it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But going to games.
Leichhardt's
a beautiful oval to go watch a game on. So good. I love it. It's one of the best home grounds any team's got.
Because it feels like a home ground too.
Totally, yeah. The hill, we can just hang out. And just,
yeah, you know, that's right. We would sit up in the stadium and look at everybody.
Just observe.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it probably wasn't worth my dad's money as a kid because I'd be watching everything else.
Not the footy.
Oh, only when the crowd go, watch it now. Okay, final one. Mm. Would you rather go and watch live wrestling or ballet? I've tried to pick two things that are not Mick relevant.
Well, you might think, Leah.
I would think. Am I wrong?
I've been to live wrestling.
Have you?
When WWE, which was WWF, came to Australia in about 1998. 8 or 99 for the first time in like 10 years or something. It hadn't been in Australia for a long time. They did a big wrestling match down in the covered up stadium in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And this is like The Rock and John Cena and a Hulk. And it was a really massive lineup.
Yeah.
And I loved live wrestling when I was a kid, like loved it. I was into the 90s wrestlers, Rowdy Roddy Piper and Jake the Snake Roberts and Hulk Hogan, all
Such
those guys.
Good names.
It was the golden time, I reckon, in WWF. So I've always had a soft spot for wrestling and I still like to just see what's happening on the scene. Yeah, wrestling for me is still just pure entertainment. It's just fun, silly, dumb entertainment, but serious like athleticism and
they've got to be so athletic.
Oh, ridiculous.
Because they've got to be careful not to overhurt themselves.
Overhurt, exactly. Because they are getting hurt every single fight. Yeah, you can't avoid it. You're hurting for your sport, for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Ballet, I've been to one ballet.
How'd you go?
Yeah, left at halftime. Halftime. Halftime the ballet.
At halftime.
Changed sides ballet. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. So yeah, it's a pretty easy one, that one.
Oh, that is an easy one. I was trying to go like as far away from live music as possible. Sure. I was like, all right, let's try and figure two opposite things. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. I can and can't believe it's been this long since we've had you.
Well, you know, I'm just down the road.
I know you are.
I'll jump back another time when Tom's around.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even when he's here, you know, whatever.
Yeah. If he's sitting in that chair, great. If not, you'll still come along.
Sure.
Now, you have got a new radio program. I say new. It is quite new for you.
I've only done 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's got a great name. You asked Facebook for a discussion about it to see what the name was, and the name is Tuck Shop, Tuck Shop.
Yeah, it's the Tuck Shop, and we tried to find a name that was very wholesome but also very Australian, but also people have good memories or connotations with that name. You know, that's sort of the key, you know. And the Tuck Shop one, because people just have such fond memories. And this Facebook chain, comment chain, went forever. Because
it was
just
what
like,
was the – I can't even remember how – phrased it sort of like, what was the place where you bought food in your school? Because you didn't want to give away. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was called Canteen, but I knew what a Tuck Shop was. And I agree with you. I think Tuck Shop is the best name because I don't think – in any other country, that's a thing.
I think England maybe, but that's about it. It does come from Tucker, and Tucker is a bit of an English term, I think, originally. But Australia really grabbed hold of it and became a school thing. Like, they don't call it Tuck Shop in schools in England. So I reckon Australia's the only place in the world where the Tuck Shop is a place you're going to get food in school. And it's not every school, but some schools are still doing it. It's one of those things, you know, I think people have those connotations. They remember the Tuck Shop. They go, we're going to call it Tuck Shop in our school. Yeah. So it's still there. Anyway, it's an Australian music program, all Australian music, 2 hours every week on a Sunday on 2SER.
Awesome.
It's my little baby now. I've been leading up to this for years. I'm so excited to do it.
Yeah, and Australian music. That's, I mean, it just makes sense. So 2 hours sounds like a lot, but you're filling it with music. I suspect it's difficult to do a playlist. Are you in charge of the music? Are you allowed to do the playlist for this?
Yeah, totally. It's my baby, my show. I can choose any song I want.
Amazing.
You know, I can choose what songs I want because it's my idea. Yeah. I have a co-host called Tara, and she is choosing half the music and I'm doing half the music.
Cool.
So it's a really good mix because she's got a slightly different taste to me, maybe more electronic-y, dancey stuff.
Yeah,
I like sort of a bit more rock and rap. And so we mix it all together and we come out with an amazing playlist of really like different genre music from all around the country.
Awesome.
And it's just been so fun just teaming up with her and just talking Australian music every Sunday. We play about 25 songs, so it's quite a few.
You're packing them in there.
But we're going to start doing interviews and stuff soon, so that'll reduce how many songs we do. But we're still, you know, feeling our way into it, but it's been fun as.
2SER.
2SER.com. You can check it out there.
Very excited. Mick, once again, thank you so much for coming on.
Cheers, Leah.
Have you got a final parting word for us?
Oh, this is the thing that Tom does.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm not prepared. I was going to think of another cummerbatch pun, but I can't think of one now. Pondle scratch. No, that's terrible. See ya.